Oh boy, back with more guests. Guests back with bears and guests. It's fun. So the weird thing is, I haven't been doing a whole lot of guests on Deep in Bear Country just because of Zoom and scheduling, and I do most of my stuff during the day. And but in the last couple of weeks, I've been having guests again. And so then I was like, wait a minute, it's Valentine's Day, and I have regular Valentine's guests that have to be on the show, or I will be very upset.
Aww.
Yeah.
That's not what we want.
I thought you would run out of Valentine's books.
I thought I had too, but then they published this new Valentine's book.
Wait, this one is new?
This is a pretty new book. Let me see. It was published in, I'm going to waste all the time trying to find the copyright on this. Yeah, 2023. It came out at the end of last year, or like the beginning of last year. It's really new.
This is a post-COVID bear country book.
Yeah. And I just did a post-COVID bear country book that talked all about masking. So this is a big deal. So yeah, I had run out of Valentine's books and was like, well, I guess Valentine's episodes we're going to have to figure out. And then here it is. And you can tell that it was years in the making, because what a story.
Twists and turns.
Twists and turns. This book is all of 10 seconds long. It's all of 30. It's a handful of pages. It's flippity and floppity. Actually, I don't know how thick it is because I only have a digital copy, but
I can read, so you can count on it being pretty flippity and floppity.
I'm glad we finally have one that's at my level.
It's not only an I can read book, it is an unleveled I can read book. Like, it doesn't even have the big one on the front. It just says shared reading my first. Like,
I think the most lines per page is 4.
Yeah, this is
are you both familiar with the toxic boy mom phenomenon of 2023?
Is that relevant to our story?
Yeah, I can think of nobody better to describe such a phrase than Christy. So please go ahead.
First, so this is a TikTok.
Wait. First, I'm gonna do the intro.
I think that's a good idea.
The Toxic Momcast.
Welcome to Toxic Moms. Welcome back to Deep in Bear Country, a Berenstain Bearcast. I am your host, Phil Gonzalez, and this week it's Toxic Moms and Moxie Tom, our good friend Moxie Tom the Tomcat, is here with his toxic mama, and we're going to talk about Valentine's. Valentine's? Valentine's. I'm Phil Gonzalez, and this is the second episode I'm recording today with Christy,
who is here.
And the first episode I've recorded in a while with Brian, who is here.
I am here as well. Yes. I don't have any Moxie. I haven't been to Maine for a while.
Oh, you're talking about the
soda. The soft drink. Yes, that everyone loves.
We once covered a book called Moxie on our other podcast.
So it's a crossover.
It is.
Brian, are you a Moxie girl?
Yes.
Okay, good.
There is no hesitation there. I appreciate it.
I just go with it.
I think Brian's eager to please is how this works.
I really hate confrontation, but I love Moxie.
Like, if I was a Stephen King bully and I was like, hey, you a Moxie girl? You'd be like, yeah, I'm a Moxie girl, Belch.
Yeah, same. Oh,
God. You can't swear on the bear show, Brian.
Don't bring up Stephen King.
Did you know that Stephen King bully is like the aesthetic I've been going for lately, and I think I'm doing a pretty good job?
Well, it's clearly the aesthetic you're going for right now, what with the bear ears.
No, this is whimsy. I usually wear a denim jacket when I leave the house now.
As a Canadian, I appreciate that.
Yeah, always with jeans, too, and I have been called out on this, and I refuse to change my ways.
Isn't a denim jacket referred to as a Canadian Speedo or something?
No, jeans and a denim jacket is called the Canadian Tuxedo.
Oh, I thought that's just what you wore to the beach.
That also.
In Canada.
Yes, the Canadian peaches.
You know, we don't have to talk about the fact that Brian is Canadian this episode, because it's not even relevant.
It's not. This time it isn't.
It's not this one time.
This one time.
I think it's about time. You know what? I'm gonna go for it right now and just say, At this point in our friendship, Brian, you being Canadian has stopped being novel.
It stopped being novel to me a little while ago. I don't think I even sound that Canadian anymore, so I'm fine with it.
Yeah, you sound like just a neutral boy. You sound
I'm just a boy. Yeah. I'm not a toxic boy mom.
Okay, so toxic boy mom. There's so much we have to talk about. We have to talk about toxic boy mom. We have to talk about whether or not the mask singing Cuban Pete is racist.
You don't have to talk about that. That's all I think about. That keeps
me up at night. Is it racist? Is it racist when Jim Carrey, as the mask, performs Cuban Pete, a song originated by Desi Arnaz Jr.? Or Desi Arnaz? Desi Arnaz? He's Desi Arnaz, right?
I don't know. All I know is I don't think it's racist.
Brian? You're Cuban.
Yeah, I am Cuban. I'm going to say that due to his neutral shading...
Yes!
That it is racist.
Oh, no.
It's racist.
He's not doing a voice or anything.
I mean,
Okay. I want you to stop right there and suggest that you can never say that Jim Carrey is not doing a voice.
Yeah, I think the last time Jim Carrey didn't do a voice, it was in that 18-hour long movie about how great it is to sit in a movie theater. I don't remember what it was called.
I thought I was going to get to talk about the movie High Strung for the second time this week, but it appears that today is not that day.
Instead, we're going to talk about The Majestic.
Is it The Majestic? Mm. That's what it is. Isn't that just about Jim Carrey? Like, isn't it just like the feature film version of that thing where Nicole Kidman talks about how great it is to go to the movies?
It actually is. It's about how heartbreak feels good in a place like this.
I don't believe that Nicole Kidman has been to an AMC movie theater in her adult life.
I gotta say,
unless the A's dead for Australian.
if this were our podcast, I would have tried to bring it around to the topic. Yeah, but it is not. So I'm under no obligation.
We have a lot of words to cover.
Nicole Kidman only watches movies projected onto the shaved chest of a servant boy. I am convinced of that. Like, she is so wealthy, and she exists on another planet. So, what is this mom boy problem that you have, Christy?
I have actually not seen it on TikTok because my TikTok algorithm is mostly like, hey, look at this cat who meows weird, which is a great app. 10 out of 10.
Did you see the cat that meows like Marge Simpson? Because that was amazing.
No.
There's a cat.
It's usually one that when it makes a noise, you're worried that it's sick. That's the kind of cat. That's the kind of content I'm getting. But the toxic boy mom trend is the trend of women who are very attached to the idea that they are the mother of sons and like insistent that they will be their son's first love and most important love. And a lot of hating their daughters-in-law. A lot of, like, Olivia Rodrigo lyrics about their sons. It's a whole thing. I've seen a couple videos about it that both made me laugh for a long time, but then also made me a little upset. And I don't think that Mama Bear is fostering this dynamic, but I don't think Brother would be upset if she did.
Well, I think we snapped Brian's mind.
I was trying to picture the moms in general kind of conglomerated into one perfect toxic mom. And I did picture, no offense to you, Christy, but a denim jacket. Maybe a denim vest. Very tan.
There's some consistency among what they look like. Maybe like their like socioeconomic status. Like they're all about the same.
Do they have large wooden signs that tell you the rules about dating their son?
Probably. Okay. Do you think Esma Cullen is a toxic boy then?
I think that Edward Cullen is a toxic boy.
We didn't get around to this on the episode, but Esma is even less interesting in Midnight Sun than she was in prior books.
Brian, what are your thoughts on Stephanie Meyer's Midnight Sun, the retelling of Twilight from Edward's perspective?
Oh, I don't read books or watch movies.
That's probably
but you read
for the
this
best.
Book.
I'm reading it as we're talking. I
haven't read it. Ryan never got around to reading the book. Well, speaking of barely being able to read, this week's book is the 2023 Valentine Spooktacular The Berenstain Bears Possessive S Extra Special Valentine, starring Toxic Boy Mom, Mama Bear, and Toxic Boy Brother Bear himself.
I don't like what any of them look like.
No,
on the cover.
Their eyes are all graded. They should all be making that expression.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Also, should be making the expression. It's my favorite expression.
It feels bad that Papa isn't, and Sister is.
Sister has hand on hip. She is doing it more than anybody else. Whatever it is.
So the reason that we bring, well, we don't want to spoil the ending of this book.
Well,
but we're going to, because it's very short and it's for babies, but it is a Valentine's book. And we've covered stories about brother's secret love, about large girls being in love with brother. I think that's pretty much it. I think that's how far the stories tend to go, is a large girl will be in love with brother and he'll be like, go.
His mom is bigger than him. Just saying right now.
There's also one where Sister had a boy interested in her and he did the pulling pigtails thing. And
that's right.
Papa Bear was referred to as a solid citizen.
Solid citizen syndrome. Toxic solid citizen. Is Papa Bear a toxic solid citizen? Yes.
I believe so.
Who in this book would most likely be on TikTok?
I'm surprised they haven't really done a social media book yet. They've done they've brought up having cell phones. That's been a thing. Like the smartphone has been a recent thing. And kids being on computers, but they haven't done the TikTok problem or the I don't know whatever their version of it would be, but yeah, they haven't tackled that. And I think it's because Mike Berenstain is I am comfortably in my lane right now, and I am just gonna I know not to swerve left or right on this one.
I think it's probably good that that hasn't been incorporated. I just finished the one season Electric Mayhem show on Disney Plus, and it just ended up being all about TikTok at the end, and I wasn't happy.
How close was it in plot to the Gem movie?
Probably pretty close.
Yeah, I think the Muppets should stop trying to attempt things for a while and just sort of coast on goodwill, because
the worst thing that happened is they showed a clip from the Elton John Muppet Show episode in one of the last episodes, and I was so mad that I wasn't just watching the Muppet Show.
That is literally the only way I knew Elton John for a good chunk of my childhood.
Oh, yeah, see.
For me, it was the video for the song I Don't Want to Go On With You Like That. For some reason, that was the first Elton John song I was aware of. And I think it's because he says, I don't want to go on with you like that. Don't want to be a feather in your cap. Which as a kid, I was like, just say hat. Well, just say hat. I didn't know I should be mad at Bernie Taupin for that. But still.
Now you know.
Now I know. Speaking of now I know, yes. Valentine's Day is here.
Oh, I do want to note, you said that this was an unlabeled I can read. It's the, in the legend at the front of the book, it says that this is a my first share reading book.
Yes.
So you are correct that it is not the beginning readers. It is the basic language, word repetition, and whimsical illustrations.
Like this whimsical illustration of Dino Time.
I really like the Dino Time poster. I would like a Dino Time poster in my own home.
I thought I misread it as Dino Mite several times.
And I mean, all those letters are there.
It's true. I thought it's Mike's Jimmy J.J. Walker tribute that he tries to sneak into every book.
Said, not it to me.
Much like Al Hirschfeld snuck in his daughter's name Nina into all of his illustrations, Mike Berenstain sneaks dynamite into every illustration. So we see the Cubs painting the heck out of some Valentines. So my question, first off, is has anyone ever put in this much work into every Valentine that they're giving to their classmates?
Absolutely not.
No.
I mean, Brian, have you ever put in this much work?
No, at anything ever. And I don't intend to. I don't.
Right.
I might be around for another 5 years, maybe four. Never is this going to ever be a production by me on anything.
Make them count. So yeah, Mike is living. Mike's Cubs exist in a world where there's a thing. I always thought it was weird that like this time of year would roll around and there was this strange obligation that children had to fulfill, which was pretend to be in love with every one of their classmates.
I mean, kids can be in love with candy. Yeah.
True.
Oh yeah. The thing we put more work into is, I remember in elementary school we had contests of who had the best decorated mailbox for the Valentines. Is this actually way more fun than making the individual Valentines?
Oh, we didn't even do that. We just dumped them on people's desks.
Oh no, we had mailboxes.
Yeah, usually Kleenex boxes. We turned into mailboxes.
Oh, fun!
That was one path you could take.
I feel like I missed out.
No, kinda you did. Really didn't.
Oh, we're split on this one.
So brother and sister are just painting the heck out of some Valentines, and brother makes one big Valentine, and is immediately like sketchy about it and terrified that anyone's going to discover his sweet, sweet secret.
But why?
That's the plot of the book.
But knowing the plot of the book, but why?
Why is he so secretive about this?
Is he just messing with his sister? Because that I understand.
Okay. No, and he's got a sweet secret, but we're not going to reveal it just yet because we've got a lot of story to get through.
A lot.
A lot of story. And he's cagey. He's just a cagey boy.
I do like his face here.
Yeah.
It's like he's holding a copy of Mortal Kombat 1 behind his back in 1992.
The picture is of Brother Bear. He's hiding a Valentine behind his back, and he looks 40 in this picture. He's got bags under his eyes, a worried expression. He's kind of like making like a what me worry face.
He's very cringy.
Yeah.
He's got that claw hand out, like he's like negotiating with her.
The hand is a little, I'll be having that. It's true.
Every once in a while, you really notice the bear's claws. Just the fact that they have like claws for rending flesh, like attached to their hands.
Or painting beautiful hearts.
Or painting beautiful Valentines. And that's what we've got here. God, they really spend a lot of time on this setup.
Dynamite. A lot of scenes in this one.
So sister thinks brother's special Valentine is for a girl cub.
I mean, all past evidence would point to it being for a girl cub. He's always got a crush, or someone's always got a crush on brother. Part of the whole deal.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a 50-50 chance.
Right.
He's giving it to somebody.
I mean, it could be for like a girl bird or a girl skunk or
That's
a girl
true.
Neighborly beaver or something. So, I mean, we know that there are a few other sentient animals kicking around town. So maybe the reason he's being so cagey is because he's in love with somebody outside his species.
That could be controversial.
That would take a few more pages than this book has.
Right. Probably wouldn't be a please, please, mommy, read to me level of reader if that was the case. Sister Bear's like, you can't even mate with them. What would the babies look like? That's my Sister Bear impression.
Oh, imagine the bird-bear hybrid. little tiny wings.
Can we talk about Phil mentioning mating?
It's too late. It's already happened.
There was a specific word we told him not to use.
I mean, I know that like discussing an elementary school Valentine's Day swap probably shouldn't lead to discussions of like reproduction. Like, that's not usually where that leads.
No, that's not what the drive is right. For this. It's more, hey, notice me, or hey, I'm being forced to do this.
Right, not proliferation of the species, not like passing on of genetic code. Also, was a bear and a bird one of the Wuzzles?
I think so, yeah.
Yes.
Was it bear?
Or was it bear B?
No, that was Bumble Lion. That was a bee and a lion. Was there a bear? I feel like there was a bear, but maybe not.
I'm trying to conjure the what like individual Wuzzles in my mind's eye, but it's just like
Eluru. Rhino.
Yeah, it's just an image of the whole cast.
Bumble Lion.
Bumble Lion's almost my name.
That's true. Is that what Brian is short for?
Yes. Bumble Lion Ryan.
I got into a big discussion about Wuzzles the other night with someone, and it went places. So, but yeah, yeah.
They got name checked on a podcast, The Ride, I listened to recently, and I was once again reminded, like, ah, yes, these are my people.
Well, you were either a Wuzzles kid or you were a Popples kid.
I was a Popples kid who was aware of the Wuzzles.
Yeah. Yeah.
I had a friend who had Wuzzle books. But we didn't know where they came from. But that's kind of the, as a kid, that sometimes happens.
I love the idea of like being into a property like that, but only for the literature. You're like, I only like the books of these characters.
He
I'm not
a lot of the Robot Man, like the original Robot Man stuff as well.
Like the American greetings. Like American we're gonna push this character into your face.
The pink and white
or high water
girlfriend robot. Yeah.
Stella. Her name was Stella.
From Stellar Space.
Yeah. By the way. I also had a friend write to me the other day and go, Alf had a girl? There was a girl in Alf? Like, she wrote to me, like, with a picture of Rhonda. And she was like, there was a girl? I think that's what it said. It just said, there was a girl, ?? And I was like, yeah, Rhonda. Like, what? Why are you even, like, what? Of course.
Of course. Like, you would immediately make more elves. And make a girl elf. That's, what else would you do? Like, you know, 5 minutes after inventing elf, you're like, I had to make a girl elf.
Put lips on it.
Put a bow on its hair. This is 1989.
It's 1989. So.
No, I'm still thinking about Popple, sorry.
The Cubs get on the bus. It's a big Valentine's party at school, and they give out their cards. We see a group of the Cubs. Enjoying as much as a child ever enjoyed a Valentine's Day party. Enjoying their Valentine's Day party, exchanging paper Valentines with each other. Like that's that they give out their cards. I don't know why I dragged out what's happening in this picture so much.
The teacher has what appear to be, I don't know. I get, are those donuts? Are those cookies?
Snickerdoodles.
Okay.
I'm gonna correct you. Those are honey cookies, and I know this because I just made the honey cookie recipe from the Berenstain Bears cookbook and discussed it on the show a couple of weeks ago. A, probably some of the best cookies I've ever had in my life. B, picture just makes me want to go downstairs now and eat a bunch of cookies. So
I'm going to ask you to send it to me later.
I'm going to ask you to wear a yellow band around your head for Valentine's Day, Phil. Send me a picture.
That's how that Cubs holds its hair on, Brian.
Well, I should have thought of that many years ago.
For those of you listening along at home, Brian has thinning hair on top of his head.
I didn't when the Bearcast started many years ago.
That's right. That's somewhere. It's so weird that I've been doing this so long that we have changed physical form. Like, we are physically different beings.
I mean, you've grown and lost the beard a few times.
That's true.
That's about it. Otherwise, have an aged day, Phil.
And I guess I didn't really know what Christy looked like when I first started this podcast.
I've looked the same since I was 21 years old.
That's pretty much true. I saw a picture of you on Instagram at 21. You have looked exactly the same.
The only real change is I had like skinny little bird bone arms. But aside from that, like I couldn't have hit anyone if I tried.
Can you hit someone now?
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome. Would you hit someone now?
Probably not.
Would you hit someone while wearing those bear ears?
That's more likely. I bought these ears because I was the concept of the show The Bear for Halloween a couple years ago.
That's a little bit on the nose.
I also wore an apron.
Okay.
Was it one of the costumes that you had to explain?
Unfortunately, yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say. Which, as we all know, are the best Halloween costumes.
They're my costumes every year. It was I think like one person recognized that I was Orpheus from Hadestown this past year.
I have had a discussion with my wife once where she pitched a costume and I simply said, "You're going to have to explain that to everyone at work because no one will understand it." Not as an insulting thing for it, but just pointing out to be ready for it. And she was very angry for years.
Should have her on the show.
I did one year give up and just buy one of those Power Rangers morph suits. And it's much more annoying when a lot of people are like, "Hey, that thing you're wearing."
Wait. Go back to where you finally just gave up and bought one of those. Like, how were you avoiding this?
Every year I was making my own costume and having to explain it to everybody. And then one year I was like, okay, I'm going to be something extremely recognizable so I don't have to talk to people about it. But no, you have to talk more if somebody's like, "That's a beloved property from my childhood."
That's true.
Blue Ranger. He's my favorite.
Well, you chose the Blue Ranger. Like, that was your fault. You should have chosen the
favorite.
You should have chosen the Ranger that no one cared about.
The red?
I don't know. I don't know Power Rangers.
I mean, there's only so many colors.
Right. The Gray Ranger. So these cards are very cute.
They are.
I think "Will You Be Mine" is a little suggestive for children.
Yeah, especially with an arrow piercing two hearts.
I really like the one that's just like a sunburst and hearts. It's nice.
Three hearts, too. This kid's like, there's room for more in this relationship.
Yeah, it's three hearts living in just one card.
It looks like something was blurred out in the Rose and Red, Violets or Blue. I'm so lucky to have a friend like you.
Yeah.
This is a really big space.
Yeah, that's really weird.
I can't think of a single reason for that.
To not have a friend like you is probably what it originally said.
Oh.
That's weird. Rose and Red, Violets or Blue. I'm only going to... I don't know. I have no... Why is there a gap? Why is the card so big?
I have a guess.
Oh, yeah?
I think that it got through at least some proof stage without the word "have" in there at all.
But then why would he have a huge white gap on the side of the card?
I don't know. Oh, I also thought when you said the cards are very cute that you were saying that sincerely, but no, that's the text.
I thought that was part of the card.
Nope.
That'd be really good marketing. Just say that.
Word of God is the cards are very cute. Oh.
Oh? What did you just do? What? What? What happened?
Can you
see the digital thing?
Yeah, roses are red, violets are blue. I'm so lucky to have a friend like you. This doesn't answer our question, but apparently this is interactive text. So,
that's fun.
We need to know if the printed version has this now with the space.
Oh, I don't know how to figure that out. You can't click on any of the other cards, though. So if you're a kid who has, like, reading processing issues or something, you don't get to know what the "Will You Be Mine" and "Happy Valentine's Day" cards say. But yeah, anyone who has the print edition of that, is there wonky spacing on the Valentine's Day card? Bradley Mariska, if you're listening to this, and I know you are, what does it look like?
The one person for sure to know, have a good chance of knowing.
Yes. So the Cubs sit around, they have their cards, and Sister is spying on Brother because she wants to see who gets that special Valentine. She's looking a little Columbo-y, trying to work out this mystery.
So this is a multi-grade party.
Apparently. It has to be.
Yeah. It's the school party, because that's Teacher Jane, who's overseeing everything.
I don't think we've ever had a full school Valentine's party. That'd be too much chaos.
I would agree.
But there's only definitely like 12 kids here, so.
I mean, even then, 12 kids is a lot. Have you ever been in the room with 12 kids? Probably never.
I mean, probably Phil has.
No, he probably hasn't.
I try not to be in a room with any kids, if I'm going to be completely honest with you. I am upstairs at 7:38 at night recording a Berenstain Bears podcast, and I'm not in the same room as my child who's downstairs.
He absolutely did not go to the car and fall asleep rather than go into one of her.
I did fall asleep in the car. It was much needed rest. So yeah,
Teacher Jane is eating one of the cookies. I want to point that out.
Yeah, it's her party. I bet she brought those cookies.
Mid cookie.
I wonder if McDonald's gave them the Orangeade.
I wondered about the Orangeade too. I really like
Orangeade.
I want to point out that like a lot of this book is dedicated to just the same static shots of Cub standing in the same room at this party. Like it's just true. Mike was like, I figured out how to draw the background, and that's all I'm going to. Like I'm just going to move the Cubs around a little bit.
Sister does have a very one more thing expression in this. Yes. You're not wrong.
One more thing. Who are you giving that sexy card to, brother?
I mean, at this point, I thought, as much as I was thinking about the plot rather than just reading the words, it might be for the teacher.
It might be for the teacher. That's a good guess.
It's the wrong guess, though.
Might be for the teacher. Could be for the bus driver. Let's find out.
It could have been for Sister.
That's okay. So when
that would have been a better twist.
When I first read this book, I thought that was going to be the end. That he's like, it's for you, Sister. You're my best girl. Or whatever you say to your sister when you give her your most beautiful Valentine.
You have a sister. What would you have said?
I would have said, Happy Valentine's Day, Stacy. I made you a card. I know this is unusual for me. I was in a weird place, I guess. I don't know.
I have a fever.
I don't feel well. Here is your card. You're 3 years older than me. Here's your Valentine's Day card. They get on the bus. Sister's finally like, where's your special Valentine? And brother's like, I forgot it. It's an extra one. So did he not bring the Valentine to school, I guess? I thought he had, but I guess he left it
at home. I
thought he had,
but it seems like he hasn't from the next two pages.
Which makes sense. Makes sense. Yeah.
I like him being sly when, like, he's this sly dog who's got this big secret when it's, who he's going to give it to is not the coolest answer in the world.
I don't like how close Sister is to falling off the seat here.
She is like she has gone to the Majestic or an AMC theater. And the edge of her seat watching a rollicking thrill ride good time through the magic of cinema.
It is like Mike thought he was going to draw a bus seat at a completely different angle than he ended up drawing it.
He was
going
to put the word have. Click on her and see if she changes position. That's all I'm saying.
It does say, I forgot it, says brother. It is an extra one. Because this is an early reader book, you don't do contractions. So brother's like, oh, sister, it is an extra one.
But it is not so sure.
I don't understand. He forgot it. It is an extra one. Like, these are not connected thoughts.
That's also true. I don't know where it is, sister. I left it at home in my room.
I hid it under my bed like a creep.
It is an extra one. So he goes up to his room and he was lying, of course. Why did he hide the Valentine? They were going to school. He's hidden it under the bed.
Okay, question. Does Valentine's Day have, for kids, a time frame where does it begin when they wake up and when they go to sleep? Or does it begin at the start of school and end at dinner? Like, maybe, why couldn't he give the card to the person he's giving it to before school?
Oh, right. Like, would it have ruined... It wouldn't have ruined anything.
No.
It would have saved...
There are certain holidays that, like, April Fools have a time frame.
Right.
For kids. Oh, but I don't think...
I do know that, like, the day after Valentine's Day is a real letdown. It just... The whole Valentine's season has built up and built up, and then the next day you have to take down all the decorations, put away the tree. So,
go buy the discount candy.
Yeah. No, you bring up an important question, which is why was this a secret in the first place?
Maybe he was worried that she would tell the person, like the recipient.
Maybe he was worried she'd reject it. if she was if she hadn't had her morning java yet.
Fear of rejection. He had to build up the courage to give his Valentine her special card. But if he had given it to her first thing in the morning, that would have just been the end of it, and he could have enjoyed his day without the subterfuge.
Well, we wouldn't have a plot, but also at the same time, we really don't have a plot.
It could have been a plot about Sister making fun of him all day about who he gave his Valentine to, because he goes downstairs, he goes into the kitchen. Who is the special Valentine for? And they're really milking this at this point. Like, Mike is like, no one's going to figure this one out. It's a big old mystery. Who's the special Valentine for? Sister looks stunned and astonished. She cannot guess what's happening. Also, the ghost of Grizzly Gramps stands above the stairwell.
Notice that? Yeah.
It looks like one of the paintings from, like, Disney's Haunted Mansion.
It really does. There's more going on the lower you look there.
Yeah, Grizzly Gramps, bear out of time. So, brother takes... He sneaks up on the recipient, who's standing at the wood fire stove, standing at an odd angle so as to avoid burning her knees on that cast iron door, because the stove is angled out quite severely for something that is hot to the touch.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, she can't stir a cauldron from the side.
Yeah, all of a sudden the bears are super rural in this book. It's the Valentine's for Mama. That's the end of the story.
And then she gives him the longest kiss. Oh, look, at Honey's there too.
Yeah, okay. He was just going to point out Honey Bear.
Who's almost as big as her sister.
Mama gives him a kiss. Yeah. Her mouth extends into
it
like
extends.
I
was going to say I didn't like it, but I think I like it so much.
If this was a movie, it would be called It Extends.
A Cronenberg fantasy. Mama's mouth reaches down to her son. Like, she can't bend over any further. She's been spending all day in front of this hot stove. Her back is out. She can't bend over to kiss her son on the forehead. Her lips, however, take up the challenge, extend down to his face. I know that if you're not watching this, if you're just listening to us, it is a ghastly sight. Her lips scissor on over to brother's forehead.
I feel like sister looks the most chill about this, and that's weird because this is a huge payoff for her.
Yes,
she wanted
like
to know
Honey Bear and Papa Bear are making the expression that she should be.
What sound do you think they're making? Because their mouths are open.
I think Papa's saying, well, I think Honey Bear is like, yay, like she doesn't get what's going on.
Oh, for sure.
She's like, yay, kisses. Sister's like, oh, this was a letdown, kind of, like in a way. Like, I was hoping for some kind of better payoff than this. She looks a little apprehensive, and Papa's like, those are my lips.
He does have his hands on his hips, yeah. Or his paws on his hips.
He's realizing he forgot all about Valentine's Day.
That's when Brother Bear should turn to him and like, I have replaced you.
I'm the man now, dog, he says. That's not the end. There is a final page. She thought it was for a girl. The cubs all hug. These three thoughts aren't connected. Sister smiles at brother. She thought it was for a girl. The cubs all hug their mama bear. Go to bed, kids.
They're coming together. The cubs' faces are coming together.
No. Don't. It does look like brother's about to lean in and kiss sister.
I'm not saying it's not platonic.
No, it doesn't look platonic is the problem.
Well, the problem is this entire book, they have lidded eyes for every possible illustration.
Now I can't look at this without seeing brother leaning in to kiss sister. He's got his hand on her shoulder, his mouth is open and she's smiling at him like, this is a ridiculous thing to talk about on a Berenstain Bears podcast. But I just also want to point out that Mike gave up drawing the lower half of Honey, and so her lower half just extends out into the rest of the heart.
Honey also house and house is her lower half.
Honey also not hugging Mama Bear. Like, she is hugging brother.
She's just hugging brother.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which I guess brother is good. Should have been like, you're all my Valentines, except for you, Dad. I've replaced you.
Right. Instead, it looks like a picture of brother and sister who are about to kiss. Then Michael's like, oh, I better draw in honey to keep the Lord between them. And then he's like, but what if I also drew Mama Bear pushing the two of them together? And then I put Papa behind him looking proud as anything.
Whose hand is on?
Yeah, that's really.
Literally, either their hands could be on her shoulder.
Oh, you're right. Is that Mama's hand or brother's hand? I don't know what's happening in this picture. This one upsets me a lot.
I missed this first run through. I didn't see this at all.
Yeah, this is a suboptimal. Well, I know what my tattoo is going to be. It's going to be this, and whoever I get my tattoo from is going to say, this is weird and gross. I won't draw this picture. You did something weird with my favorite family of bears. And I'll say, no, this is an official picture from a book.
This is what they look like today.
This is canon.
Should be fired out of a cannon, more like. No, we're being silly because we're a bunch of silly billies, and that's the way we behave when we get on this show. That's my disclaimer.
It's true. I almost cried because I was laughing too much.
Question. Back to moms and toxic moms.
Oh, yes.
Is the mom from Love You Forever a toxic boy mom?
I kind of think so.
Yeah, I know people really like that book. And I know it's also like a lot of fun has been poked at that book. But I also know that that's a creepy book.
I don't like that she like drives to his house with a ladder on the roof of her car so she can rock his adult self to sleep.
There's a lot of it that, of course, I don't think you're supposed to take literally.
Right. Thank you.
No,
yes.
I do, though.
I think
but
the author
is drawn very literally.
I think the author is aware that it's supposed to be. It's an exaggeration of a sentiment. But yes, it is drawn so realistically.
I have found, for whatever reason, that myself and other people I know who have are not boy parents don't react to this book in the same way as I have talked to, you know, moms of sons, especially, you know, young 3 or 4 year olds. And they're like, this is so wonderful. And like, oh, I mean, I get the sentiment. It's kind of creepy. Some of the illustrations. And they're like, what? I'm like, oh, great. I'm glad you enjoy it.
Yeah. No, you're allowed to enjoy a children's book. Yeah. Even a children's book where a mom breaks into a house and picks up her grown son and rocks him to sleep. Like it's
and then she dies at the end. Kind of.
Does she? Oh, she yeah, you're right. I forgot
yeah,
about
she
that.
She absolutely does.
She becomes this tiny little thing and he rocks her.
Yeah.
And that's where all the moms cry, but it's also it's so
is that
I don't have a word for it. It is evocative. It gets the people going.
I guess. Is that going to be the last Berenstain Bears book, just brother holding mama?
A oh, shrunken, no.
Her shriveled
old mama
bones. I hope that we get to see at least one bear's bones at some point. Like one of our favorite characters. We get
to Wait, see it has to be one of our favorites?
none of the characters we don't like.
Yeah, it can't be Mayor Honeypot. I want to see actual factuals bones.
Is there a Berenstain Bears book about co-sleeping?
Listen, is Mama a toxic boy mom in this or not?
No.
She has done nothing.
She's
a toxic boy.
She's done nothing wrong.
He is a misunderstood cub with a lot of confused feelings. He's working through his emotions.
He's a sweetheart.
He's a sweet boy. Boys listening to this, if you're a boy and you have a mom and you're on good terms with her, do this. This year, right now.
Right.
Sneak up behind your mom at the stove and hand her a card.
Lift her up.
Yeah, carry her.
Every kid that is being awkwardly sweet is better than a kid who's being a jerk.
Yes.
I will take that every single time, especially with young men.
I think coming from a podcast featuring 3 people who I would say that we probably have all been awkwardly sweet at some point.
Every day, baby.
I've never not been awkward.
you Brian has been awkwardly sweet, awkwardly cruel.
I've yelled at people in the mall for hats they're wearing, you know, things like that.
Was it like a compliment or?
No, I okay. said nice hat, hole, and kept walking.
You just swore on the bear show again.
This is after the recording, the book's done.
We're still recording. I haven't said goodbye to my friends yet. Oh, wait, no, I say goodbye to our friends on a different podcast.
Yeah, that's the one we did earlier today. That was 7 hours ago.
It's been a melange.
It has been. It has been. But that is the Berenstain Bears. What's it called? Very Goofy Valentine, Creepy Crazy Valentine, Extra Special Valentine. So where does this fall? Where would you guys say this falls in the rankings of the Valentine's books we've covered?
I don't like it as much as the one that has, like, a kind of cryptid girl in it.
The cryptid is number one with a bullet.
Yeah.
It's, like, when you mentioned the other one, which is not unmemorable, I didn't remember it because all I can think of is the other one.
Yes. Yeah.
And the special.
I think the hockey, eyes. The cryptid, that one is rock solid. This is pretty low ranking.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It does have Dino Time.
It has Dino Time. I will say, Mike, if you want to print a Dino Time poster that we can have in our rooms, I'll buy one.
I would buy one.
I'll hang it right up here where there's space.
You have no space.
I have space right here.
Yeah, there's plenty of room right there.
Right above my alien queen and my Santa's workshop.
There are things that are going to end up there before a poster is ever made. Little people will make something and he will just put it up there.
I feel bad for people who don't watch my show on YouTube because they don't know what my recording room looks like.
They don't know that Edward and Bella have kind of like staked a claim that that will maybe fall back off pretty soon.
It will fall back off very soon because we're not doing Twilight anymore.
Oh, we're not doing Twilight anymore. It's true.
You staked that one out. That doesn't even work.
It doesn't work.
No, when I said it also didn't work. And
no,
I
it worked. It worked.
Especially because there are no stakes in Twilight.
No, because you can't kill a vampire that way. You have to rip it apart limb from limb and then set it on fire. It's crazy.
Yep. And their heads smash off like porcelain. So, guys, you two, Brian and Christy, where can our listeners find the both of yous?
Brian, you go first.
Oh, do I? Okay. They can find me on all your favorite podcatchers that are still working and available at a podcast called Center of Weirdness. We have a Valentine's episode coming up where we cover the Kathy's Valentine special from 1989. And it's if you thought our show was over because we haven't recorded for a while, I have been very sick since our Halloween episode. So all our Christmas content went away. Did Aww. Not happen. But it was going to be great. It just did not exist. But otherwise, yeah, Center of Weirdness. You can find us on the Blue Skies, on the Threads, on the internets. Just look us up and you'll see a picture that says Center of Weirdness podcast. That's us.
And Phil and I do a podcast called Pizza Toast. It is about middle grade and YA novels and the TV and film adaptations thereof. You can find it wherever you find podcasts. I am on the Blue Sky, just at Christy Admiral, and I haven't written a darn thing for the internet in a very long time, so do not look for me on any of the blogs.
I also have a podcast that's been on a couple of week hiatus called It's Del Toro Time that I do with my daughter Willow, but we're coming back soon. We're recording, covering some good old spooky stories that we'll be talking about. So listen to that. All my shows are on YouTube now. So if you want to watch me wiggle and shimmy and shake while I talk about things, this is where you come. And as I make my friends and co-hosts and guests uncomfortable to be on camera for my own edification, I guess.
I'm incredibly used to it.
Yes. otherwise... Thanks so much for joining me for our Valentine's episode, you two.
You're so welcome, Phil.
It's the best tradition of all the Valentine's traditions that I have. And my wedding anniversary is on Valentine's. And that comes number two to this.
Awesome. That's what I'm looking for. I want my shows to rank higher than personal, actual relationships.
Exactly.
And everyone else, thank you so much for joining me. Thank you so much for listening. And I will see everyone else next time deep in Bear Country.